I'm not a visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is The Boop Show for December 4th, 2017, with Scott Johnson, that's me, and Brian Dunaway, that's him. Yeah. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of The Boop Show. 158, baby. That's a big number, Brian. It's a big, hairy number. What do you think of that?
158, that's like two shy of 160, which is just a number.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's kind of a random number that doesn't mean anything. it's good to see you. Good to see everybody here. Hope you're all having a great week as we continue in the midst of this holiday season here in the States and elsewhere. I guess it's, you know, Christmas is everywhere, but we're still kind of coming off the whole Thanksgiving business. And
right,
I just ate a burrito.
You know what? Christmas is just like... what, like 4 weeks from Thanksgiving? So it just happens really fast.
Yeah, it's here in like 2 weeks, right? 2 weeks? 3 weeks.
Right.
Two and a half?
When you're five, it seems like a year.
Yeah. There are little kids all over the place in my neighborhood that all think that Christmas takes forever to get here. And I like to say 3 weeks?
Oh, Jesus!
And 3 weeks goes so fast for me, it's disgusting. I wish I was a kid again, is what I'm saying. Anyway, welcome back to the show, everybody. And hello, everybody.
You can be with the hammer.
That's right. Thanks to those who are here live. Nice to see all of you. We'll involve you as the show goes on, of course. Should probably dive into some of the stuff we've been up to this week. So did you get any, I meant to ask you this midweek and didn't, but did you buy any additional stuff on any of those late-breaking sales on Steam or PSN or anywhere else? Did you nab anything or did you feel like you'd gotten enough from the sales?
I had to stop. I had to stop because I felt like I was like, oh no, I haven't even installed. Have not even installed or in some cases redeemed keys for things I was purchasing. Mm. And I'm like, hold up.
Yeah, I had the same problem. I totally understand. Yeah, so I still have two or three.
I literally would see $5 games. I'd go like, nope, can't do it. With that being said, I did buy Fallout 4, which I thought I owned and played. Not so much.
Really? You probably played New Vegas, is my thinking.
I played New Vegas, exactly. And I kept thinking, oh, yeah, I've played the Fallout series. I've played all of it. And yeah. I'm like, no, I haven't.
Yeah. No, you have four not. Four is a big release. That came out, what, now? 2015? Are we that far away from it? 2 years?
2015, I think you're right. Or was it late 2014? I think 2015.
2015.
Getting pretty high over here.
The reason I know that or think that is because at E3 in 2015, they... is when they announced it and released it the same year. And pretty sure that was it. Because since then, there's been talk of the VR thing, which I guess is here now or coming. Is it here yet? I don't know. And then
soon.
Other things that have been done to that game to make it cool or whatever. It's been modded to hell and back. But yeah, 2 years ago has been... it's been a while since Fallout 4. It's a great game, though. Hell of a game. And I'm glad you got it. You should play it. It's really good. In fact, I'm here to tell you, I like all the Fallout games, but I'm here to say, it's maybe a controversial opinion, I think 4 is the best. I just do.
So far, I'm going to agree with you because, to me, so far the story part has been more compelling. I have felt more emotions than I did all the rest of them. The other ones are really good, don't get me wrong, but it always felt like I was a single entity just trying to survive. And this one kind of brought in a different aspect to that.
It's like you're a character in a world now where things you do, stuff you do changes stuff and makes an impact, right? That's the deal.
Right. Plus the family. I mean, because that's what you're doing here. You're with the family this time around, right?
Yeah, well, sort of. You're trying to find
a young family.
Yeah. How far did you get?
Well, I mean, yeah, it is. Spoiler, by the way, if you haven't played Fallout 4 yet, you might want to pause it for just a moment as I say, spoiler.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have a family for about a hot minute, but you're a young family and you've got a wife and a kid and everything's going great. And then
things go not so great. Yeah, if you're looking for, but you spend a bunch of time without spoiling anything for anyone who's 2 years late on that game. You know, you're trying to find your son. Let's just put that there because that's true.
Right.
That's
you're not trying to find your wife.
No, let's not now. Say that. Not now. I think we know how that went. Anyway, so good. Well, I'm glad that you should play it. Fallout Vegas was my favorite setting for a Fallout game, but I like the gameplay of 4 very much, and I kind of wish I mean, I'm just a sucker for the desert and Vegas and all that stuff, like that kind of like the Stand setting. Like, go yeah. out there again. That would be a great place to spend my next Fallout time. Is back
I played
in the
a
desert.
Lot of New Vegas, and I'm with you. There was a lot more. I just feel like I was always out in the desert collecting something.
Yeah.
What are you doing, Brian? I'm out here collecting stuff. It reminded me of, not really, but kind of like Red Dead Redemption.
Mm-hmm. Any of those. That's why I like Westerns so much. It's why I like Tatooine the most out of all the Star Wars planets. It's why I like Mad Max Fury Road to the point of insanity. Like anything that I have, I'm a sucker for anything set out in the wastes. That's what I like. So, the wastelands, you know.
I'm really enjoying what's going on with Fallout 4 so far, but already I am seeing so many people, because right now is a great time to get Fallout 4 mods.
Yeah.
Because they're mature.
Yeah.
And they work really well, and I almost can't wait to finish the story so I can mod the crap out of this thing.
Well, some of it you can do now just to, you know, get closer to it. Like there's the high res texture pack that I don't think made that big of a difference, but it's, you know, some would say it made it look better. There's some interface stuff that some mods maybe do a little bit better than the game does, you know, in its vanilla form. But here's the thing I would say. This is true of all Bethesda developed games, whether that be Skyrim or freaking the one before that or this or any of the Fallouts. The first thing I do is get in there and give myself like a 10,000 slot or 10,000 pound bag capacity. F this limited capacity bag shit those games do. So I go and there's a cheat code for it. They all have it. Hit the tilde button, type in slash whatever the hell it is. And suddenly I'm not burdened now with like constantly worrying about my bag, because there's two things happening in this game at the same time. On the one hand, you've got kind of a very restrictive bag limit. And on the other hand,
this weight limit.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes. And everything in the world is pick-upable and movable and keepable. So if you're going to give me those two things, something's got to give. So I want to pick up everything. I'm taking every pan I get, especially in this game, because you use that stuff to build up your base. So you can burn it all and use it for construction material. So I'll you know, as soon as I can do it.
I like that, but you know what? I'm okay, because I seem to be, unlike the other ones, other Fallout games, this one seems to be, I seem to stay in certain locations a lot longer.
Yeah.
And almost every location has toolboxes and chests where you can put stuff. So I kind of know where it's at. So it doesn't really bother me. I kind of got that Minecraft mentality. It's like, oh, I'm going to go stack all my crap over here, that putting all this stuff in this crate over here, and I'm putting all this stuff in this crate. So it doesn't bother me too much to not cheat the bag.
I feel like I wish I was more like you, because I do feel like it's a cheat. However, well, it's definitely a cheat. There's no question.
It's definitely a cheat, right.
It's the only cheat I ever use. Like, I use no other codes, no other nothing. I don't give myself perks. I don't give myself money or caps in this case. I don't do any of that stuff. I just have a big-ass bag.
Right.
A big sack.
A big-ass bag. Hey, yeah. Play those games, mm-hmm. when you play the games, we got to roll, you know, to see what your character's going to be. Right. Do you kind of lean towards anything more specific, like charisma? Is there like one thing that you're like, oh, I could have more charisma?
Well, this game,
intelligence can take a couple of knocks, but I'm going to go with charisma.
Yeah, I do charisma sometimes, because charisma is important for, you know, getting better deals and negotiations, higher prices for the stuff you're selling, lower prices for things you're buying. You also can convince certain NPCs to go a different way than they would have normally, so you can see different parts of the game you wouldn't have otherwise. So there's some real value in the charisma points. That's always been true of Fallout.
But you have a de facto setting for yourself when you're playing a game.
Usually I go in where I want to be strong at range, whatever that means. Right. So whatever the game is, I want to be good at range. I don't like melee combat very much. Depends on the game, but for the most part, no. I want to be range, I want to be effective at range, and I want to be resilient and have, like, you know, magnify, you know, min-max things like health pool and how to, you know, maintain myself and keep my energy up and all that. So I usually go for that, whatever that ends up being in the stats of whatever game I'm playing. But in Fallout, it's, you know, pretty simple to come up with a thing
is, because there's like very simple settings. I'm always picking the average. So I always pick, like, it's like, okay, 1 point, 1 point, 1 point.
Mm-hmm.
And
spread
I
them all
go
around.
All the way down the line.
Masters of none. Now, how's that go? There's a term for this.
Is there? Oh, masters of, a tool of, what is it? A tool of all trades?
Jack of all trades, master of none.
But I always do that, but then I always go back and I try to figure out what I don't care about. It's like, okay, well, Everything across the board is even, but I think I'm going to go one more intelligent and one less charisma.
Yeah.
I'm right down the middle every time.
That's fine. I mean, there's a reason they give you that. I'm not much of a min-maxer either. Right. I've been on the record of saying I'm not really into the max. I'm not really into the min. I kind of want to do as much stuff as I can. So the games that resonate with me the most are the ones that give me a really good range, and I can almost accomplish it all if I want to.
Right.
Fallout does ding you a bit if you go average, like in terms of...
They do.
You'll be able to shoot far, but not as far as you would if you focused on it. Or
right.
You'll be able to do a baseball bat real good, but not as good as if you focused on it. It's like that. So it's fine.
Knots in the chat room says, I hear lowest intelligence, highest luck is a fun build. That does sound fun. I think I may try that with a new character. Just crank up the luck and just drop down the intelligence.
I do like the
Homer
luck.
Homer Simpson, that thing. Just
yeah.
Right there, baby.
Go full Homer. I agree. It's not bad.
Full Homer.
What else was I going to say? Also, that's my life. That's what I do in my life. It's like dumb down the intelligence and go full luck if I can. So I understand.
Never works for me. It's always lower intelligence, lower luck.
Yeah, yeah. Well, all right. I'm glad you played that, and that sounds like fun. All that Steam stuff I picked up, I've been dabbling here and there. A couple of them I haven't even installed yet, but I knew they were good enough deals to grab. I did grab Steep. Have you heard of Steep?
Steep, only in reference to the walk that I had earlier today. It was too steep.
Oh, that's good for you, though, to have a good steep walk. Well, right. The Steep I'm talking about is Ubisoft's snowboard, skiing, fly monkey simulator deal, Steep.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a snowboarding deal. It's like you get on the mountain and beat these guys or do this other thing. It's kind of an open world giant mountain thing, and you work your way up in levels and try to get to higher and higher stuff and accomplish these different goals. It's like a combination of, remember Skate from EA back
yes.
in the day, Skate 3?
Absolutely.
It's a bit like Skate and SSX series, except not as arcadey as that.
Right.
And there's also just like free roam stuff where you can just go down the hill and do flips and jumps and all this kind of crap. You can wear all the squirrel flying suit things and do these cliff jumps and just go way far out into nowhere. It's pretty great. It's good. I like it. It's fun. And it was on sale,
wow,
so why the hell not? I grabbed it.
Yeah, I'm on the website for this thing. Boy, Ubisoft is selling everything. It's like, hey, flash sale. How about a new board? You want a new board? How about a hat?
Oh, yeah.
A hat for
They're
sale.
All into that 50%
stuff. 50%
off. A lot of it is grindable and you just can get. And nothing right. they're selling has jumped out at me that much to make me want to buy it. But it's a nice game. It reviewed really well on Steam, so I thought, well, I should check this out. I don't know how it did on consoles, but I grabbed it, and it's fun. It's good. I used to play, what was the old Nintendo game? The snow, chat room going to have to help us with this.
Right.
Wasn't SSX. It was called... Oh!
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
What
was it, for the 64? Or was
yes.
It? No, that was the...
N64. That is correct. N64. And it was like Doof or Skiff or 1080.
Doof.
That's it. That's it.
I wish it was Doof.
1080 snowboarding, that's it. 1080 snowboarding. It has a vibe like that in there, and that game's pretty great, too. So, anyway, I like it a lot. I would recommend it if you can get it on the cheap. I don't know. I mean, I'm not far enough in to say whether it's worth a full retail $49.59 or whatever, but...
It's too steep!
Yeah, that price is too steep or not.
I stole that from the chat room.
Oh,
wah,
good
wah.
Job. Well done. It's good. You should. People should pick it up. And then I spent... I don't know what's wrong with me. You may have to do an intervention here. I downloaded every possible Korean MMO I could find. And I know I talked about this a little bit last week. I know. I don't know what's going on. Something's got a hold of me, and it's very specific to their kind of MMOs. Something sparked with these, and I can't really put my finger on it. It started with some mobile stuff I've been playing. So Lineage 2 Revolution, which is just the weirdest, dumbest automatic grind fest thing. I don't know why I like it. But I do, and I've been playing others like it. Crusaders of Light, also very good on mobile. Order and Chaos 2 on mobile is pretty good. But they're, you know, these variations on kind of the same theme. And so on the PC, I finally bought Black Desert Online, which is currently number one in top-selling Steam games.
What?
Yeah, it's number one on the list. I don't understand why, especially after playing it. I think it's cool. Like, I played it, and I think it's pretty cool. But only in a weird MMO Korean way. Like, it's weird, man. It's freaking weird.
Right.
And it's all like, they have this, here's what Korea does with their MMOs. They're like, hey, you know what we ought to do? What? Let's make a fantasy MMO. Okay, cool. Dragons and monsters and stuff. Oh yeah, sounds good. But make sure there's lots of ninjas and people with guns. And like, they go kind of in a really weird way. It's definitely their own flavor. And they all do this. And here's the thing. The men are always gruff, buff dudes. And the women are always barely wearing any clothes.
Well, like, what more could you ask for? Hey, it wasn't, was your brother, was he Korean?
He is Korean still. Yeah, he stayed Korean.
Well, not anymore, right? But yeah, no, he's Korean.
Yeah, my brother's Korean. That's I have two what? Korean sisters. I have three Korean siblings.
Do they ever play these games?
No, not at all. The girls got here when they were babies, and they're as American as me and you anyway, effectively. And Matt, who got here when he was nine... he speaks Korean, still does fluently, but he also knows English, and he doesn't play video games at all right now because he's too busy. So it's like they're not the influence. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is, but I can tell you this: Black Desert, pretty cool, graphically nifty. The combat's awesome. I'll give that one a high mark. Blade and Soul, I played.
Oh yes, I've played this before.
Yeah,
yes.
Which is very like very Asian approach. It's like monks and martial arts and hand-to-hand combat and that kind of stuff. That's a pretty cool game. This is the second time I've hopped in there, but I wanted to kind of see where that thing had gone. And it's, again, it's the stories are dead stupid. Like, so every story in these games is the same and dumb. And it's always go talk to this girl. You click on her and she goes, ah! And then you just listen to 5 seconds of the worst dialogue ever. And then you go do the thing she wants, which is usually go kill 10 of these and then tell me how it went, right? Very, very vanilla Warcraft back in the day. The difference with these modern ones, though, is they have a lot of really cool systems on top of that. But these games are never very well optimized. There's often graphical stuff that's just kind of weird and makes no sense. Or when you exit, your desktop resolution's broken, you got to reboot. Like weird stuff like that. But Soul and Blade, also kind of cool. Again, grindy, and also the story is so stupid in these games. It's so dumb.
Like, but there's nothing. There's nobody's stupid.
Nobody's
right?
writing. The writing is terrible. No one's writing these. It's just guys going, "Hey, what's our story?" There's a big bad guy. He's like a dragon. He's got some sort of horns on his head, and you want to, you know, do stuff that he doesn't like. So there's your story basis, and then you go to a zone, and the people there are like, oh no, the dragon people are attacking. They must be working for Zod or whoever's in charge. What are you going to do? I'll help. Okay, go kill 5 rats. Sweet, I'll be back in a minute. Like, it's that kind of thing, and the story never progresses past that. And I'm not saying this is just a Western thing, but games like this in Europe and in the States, story's a much bigger deal. They spend a lot of time on it. And I don't even think it's a translation problem. It's just very dead simple over there. And what we're all about is, like, especially like Blizzard, they're like, well, you got a big complicated story with crazy characters. Voice acting is important. Like that stuff matters to them in a way that I don't think matters to Korean MMO developers.
We used to not care as much in America about story. Matter of fact, we used to give the Japanese a hard time. It's like, oh, I'm not reading any more of your Japanese story.
Yeah. Because they're
so sick of it.
Yeah. But now this thing just comes off as like the dumbest sort of anime inspired garbagey poo. And it's not that there can't be good stuff of that. And I'm sure somewhere there is. Chances are it's not being ported here. But the stuff that's over here is just dead simple. And I'm still having fun in there. The stories are just so dumb. So I fired Aeon back up to see what's going on in there. That game came out in like 2009 or 2010. It was kind of a big deal at the time, but it was, you know, very much WoW structured, but also dumb story. And it's still, that story is still super, super dumb. And then I reinstalled Terra. You remember this? T-E-R-A.
Oh, yes. I played that quite religiously for like a hot minute.
I kind of like Terra. Of all of them, I think it might be the one I enjoy the most. And I think the reason is I like the third-person shootery combat of that game.
I still get their newsletter.
Yeah, you should. It's they're having a picnic. You need to bring your own beer.
Right.
Check in with your favorite local chapter of Terra fans. But no, like it's the fighting is all very first person. It's all very get all up in their face. It's all, even the range stuff just feels really visceral and fun. It's still a good looking game. It's like Unreal Engine 4 or 3 maybe.
Right. Still good looking stuff.
Yeah, still holds up. So I played that. Now here's the thing with Terra. Terra is a video game that features a lot of mostly naked people. And right. the characters you create and stuff, I mean, they're seriously wearing like postage stamps where their junk should be. It's right. super stupid. Like, I don't understand why they go that far. And now I think I understand it. Because at one point, I had been in the game for a long, very long time. So at one point yesterday, I'm like, well, I should, instead of just logging into this old character I've had forever, it was this like big brute dude. I want to go make some new stuff and see what they have. And they have like six new classes or something. I don't know what the number was. But they have these new classes you can be in there. And all of them are female only.
Right.
You can't be a dude version of the gunner. The gunner is this giant gun shooting character that shoots this big gun and has all these like ranged cool like artillery moves and stuff. For some reason, that's a girl only. Now, I don't have a problem with that, except the only girls you can be a gunner with are these like stripper naked, nobody's hardly wearing any clothes girls. And it's also true of the, I can't remember the other one, some other kind of character, I forgot the name, a Reaper or something. And they only can be the women characters in the game, the avatars. Then it hit me. This is their bread and butter. People who are creepy about this are playing their game in masses. And they, this is what they want. They want to find out that there's a girl-only class. And the thing is, the game doesn't have any men-only classes. None of them. It's all right. girl-only classes. You're all looking at their tight little wearing nothing butts the whole time you play. It's a very, I mean, it's solving somebody's problem somewhere. It just isn't mine. So I'm kind of annoyed with Terra because there are other cool systems in the game. I think the gameplay is pretty good. The grinding's not so bad. Like there's fun to be had there. But I feel like I'm paying somebody's idea of hey, I know what boys like. They like to come play slinky little, girls that wear no armor and just run around half naked. Like there's somebody, right. somebody made that decision over there. And it's just not, oh, absolutely. It's just not me. It's not my thing.
So. But did they make the decision or was that the only people that hung around to play Terra and they're like, eh,
well,
this is our people.
I mean, they still do well. It's highly, played. It's one of the more played games on. In fact, I think it's the number one most played MMO on Steam. If you look at the Steam charts, that may not be true now with Black Desert might be bigger now, but I'm not 100%. But even Black Desert, same deal. The women are just wearing, they're just wearing nothing. And the way that they, like when you go to choose your guy, the man will go, and like slam his fists and look all, mannish. And then you'll click on the girl and she'll go, hee hee. And she'll turn around and like flick her butt at you and blow a kiss. It's like, come on, guys. This, again, I've got three Korean siblings, but none of them show signs of this like weird cartoon sexism that is like so, so deep. This is really weird. Anyway,
oh, come on.
And it's true. Like our culture too, very sexualized, right? Like commercials, or
yeah.
movies or
we
whatever.
We go through phases too, don't we? I mean, we sure. have times when we,
and video games, I would argue sexualized. Video games from a US developed perspective and the Western world, generally speaking, just now starting to get to a place where there's more diversity. It's taken us this long. It just feels right. like Korea is about 10 years back on the culture part of it. But kicking butt on the tech and the art and stuff. Because the stuff's really good. Like, some of it's mind-blowing.
Perhaps 10 years ahead.
Or maybe, you're there to the next cycle, you think? I like where your head's at. Send your emails to Brian. Or find him on Twitter, Brian Dunaway. And you tell him why he's wrong about the site. No, I'm kidding. But it's an odd thing. And it's not...
hey, look. If you were under the constant threat of nuclear destruction, things might be a little different.
Maybe. Is that what they're doing operating under? Well, they if you ask them though, if you ask my siblings or talk to actual South Koreans, they just think there's hot air up there and they don't care what anyone does in North Korea. They're just like, whatever. Because we've been doing this for 50 years.
We give them more cred than they do?
Yeah, oh yeah, big time. That's undisputed. We're over here going, oh, the threat that North Korea poses, and South Korea's like, meh, we're fine. we've done this, we know what's up. They've been honking their horn for 50 years and they haven't done jack. So anyway, like they really don't care. Their news doesn't carry it. They don't care. Like my brother Matt, right. he's like, you guys are weird here. And I go, what do you mean? You're here. You're American. We made you a naturalized citizen. He's like, I know, but like everyone here panics about North Korea and over there nobody cares. So I don't know. Whatever it is. The point is, what is the point? The point is lots of booty ladies.
Well, the point is now I am looking for the ultimate Korean game.
That's the other thing. They all have boob tech. So every girl in these MMOs I found all have bouncy boob tech. Yeah.
Right.
Which seems like a lot of, it seems like a lot of work. Like, why are you putting that kind of work into the boobs? And I think I know the answer now is what I'm saying. You know what I mean? Like, I've taken the naivete away and I realize, no, they're pandering to a group of gamers who want that. So they're just making what their people want. That's it.
What was I watching? I saw a trending YouTube video the other day, and it was basically just, it was a VR of a guy with a character, and he was attempting to shoot a bow and arrow, but kept jiggling their boobs first.
Yeah.
With the VR thing, and I'm like,
Yeah. It's made for a very special special group. Whatever. Jell-O Tech
is amazing.
I'm not here to Jell-O Tech. It's the best Jell-O Tech. I was doing a Bill Cosby there, and it didn't work out. Could you hear it?
It started, and then I stopped,
and I will never do it again.
You got choked on it.
So tell me about, have you continued to play Don't Starve Penis Edition?
Absolutely, and I'm playing it differently now. Since we last talked, I decided, Scott's not going to let me talk about Don't Starve again, so I got to switch it up a little bit. So I decided what I would do instead now. I'm still playing the Pocket Edition mostly. I've decided to play one-to-one, meaning that every day cycle, I play once a day. So I play, and once my day cycle goes through, I stop.
Yeah.
And so every day, I'm playing one day in the game.
Okay.
And it's actually going pretty good because now that I've slowed it down a lot,
yeah,
I take my time a lot more, and I haven't moved as much. One of the reasons why I kept getting killed in the past is because I'm trying to explore every bit of the map. I'm like, oh, I got to find out what's over here and over here. Oh, I got to keep running around. And I found if I don't do that, but just slowly move from, you know, quadrant to quadrant, I kind of know because I can tell what kind of land it is and I know what's going to be there. And so I'm like moving very slowly outward, just in like a circle. But I'm playing it once a day, like just what is that like? Maybe a day cycle. I'm not even sure how long it is, but it's not very long.
Yeah. Well, is he starving and disgusting when you get in, when you log in?
I haven't starved at all. I'm doing great.
All right. Well, you're doing the right then. You're supposed to not starve. That's the point.
Well, then I'm winning.
Yeah. Well done. Speaking of Korean games, real quick, I almost forgot. I also got into some mobile MOBAs. Your League of Legends, Dota, Heroes of the Storm style game. And the best ones are being made by Korean companies.
Right.
The one I will mention is Mobile Legends Bang Bang by Moonton. Was it NetEase or somebody distributes this? I forget. Anyway, that's Chinese. Who am I thinking of? Anyway, or maybe this is Chinese. This might be Chinese, not Korean. It doesn't matter. Mobile Legends Bang Bang.
It doesn't matter to Scott. It doesn't matter, Scott.
In this game, the games are quick. They're
sure
like,
it matters to them.
Yeah, it ends up lasting like 12 minutes. Right. Tons of characters to choose from. You can pretty much play the whole thing for free and not really worry about spending any money. There's been some tight matches. The characters are pretty fun. Your MOBA skills come into play. So no matter what you played before, it's immediately recognizable what you need to be doing. And 5-on-5 matches. I always get in very quickly. There's never waiting for a match. Unlike some mobile MOBAs are very slow. Or I don't know if that's because they don't have a lot of people playing or if they're bad at matchmaking. But this thing lets me in right away. It's players from all around the world. It really is scratching that itch for this kind of thing when I'm not in front of a computer. I mean, I don't think it's better than playing your favorite MOBA on a PC. But I think it's a nice short stand-in if you're just trying to scratch that itch. And sometimes that itch happens to me while I'm in bed and can't sleep. It's like, you know, 12:30. Right. Well, shit, what's going on? Bang, bang. All right. Boom, ba-doom, ba-doom. Play that. Play a game of that. Walk out of there. Feels great. I got MVP twice last night. Felt really good about myself.
All right.
Yeah.
Shoot. I've never gotten MVP in anything. Chat room and listeners, holidays are right around the corner, and I have to play a lot of mobile gaming. So if there's something you're playing now, like Scott suggested a lot of things, I'm going to check those out. But if you have like a mobile game that's just like owning you right now,
yeah,
let me know.
I'd be very curious, yeah. And it'd be fun to look at those and talk about them more, you know?
Yeah, I do. I do a lot of mobile gaming once it gets close to Christmas. Just don't have the time to sit at my computer and play like I'd like to. So
chat room, Sidian just said in the chat room, I put 80 hours into Factorio since last Monday. That game is always on my want list, and it's always just sort of sitting there, and I never pick it up. I need someone to tell me that I'm not going to bang my head against the wall in Factorio because it looks hard. It looks so complicated and difficult. I don't know if I want to even go near that damn thing. So someone tell
me. It's so micro. Every time I've ever seen anything from it, it's just like everything looks so small. And I'm like, I don't know if I have that kind of patience.
I don't have the brain factory for it. I mean, I've heard great things about it. It's got this like overwhelmingly positive review. Everyone loves it.
Right.
The curve at the end of the game is vicious, they say. Just build and build and build and build. I mean, I love building games. I love sitting and building shit. Oh, I'm going to have to buy Factorio. Gosh dang it, Sidian, you did it. You talked me into it.
Fine, we'll get it. Hey, Scott.
Yeah, Brian.
While I was Christmas shopping yesterday, I decided I would bring my... First step. Ooh. Groove has decided to stop selling music about a month ago, and they're going to partner with Spotify.
Wait, Groove, what's Groove? What is Groove? Explain to me Groove.
It's their little Windows 10 music manager thing they do. So anyway, they stopped selling their music and they said, hey, Brian, I'm like, what? They said, you better download all your stuff because if you don't download it today, in about a month, you're not going to be able to access it. I'm like, okay. So I downloaded that. Apparently, I'd also uploaded a bunch of old episodes of Extra Life Radio.
Oh, no, dude.
Yeah. And so I downloaded all those and I was like, shuffle playing. And I was on my way to go Christmas shopping. The most offensive thing in the world came on.
Okay, what was that? Was it bad?
It was. I don't know if you remember doing. We used to do those little Extra Life Radio skits and stuff.
Yeah, well,
You did a skit. You did a skit by yourself. Thank God I wasn't involved. And it was all about Ding Pong.
Oh, that. Yeah, I still have that. I have that thing. Sometimes.
Yeah, it was fantastic. But I was like, how many years ago was that? Because that seems like it would have been offensive even. Just those scant 10 years ago.
Yeah. But I used to have in my head that because I had Asian siblings,
right,
that it was okay for me to adopt, you know, a stance of, well, if I was black, I could say the N-word. So since I have these Korean siblings, I can certainly make jokes about bad accents and whatever. And I did that a little bit, yeah.
The Deeds is talking about the 12 Days of Christmas Ding Pong.
Oh my gosh, dude. I forgot about that. Shit. Here it is. I found it. New Year's Ding Pong. Here. Hold on.
I'm from both the show and other things. Don't get to do that very often. Wait. Tough poo to everyone.
That's all I'm going to play.
Stop it.
I am ashamed. There's a lot of old audio I don't know if holds up.
Oh,
or not.
My gosh. You'll never be able to run for public office.
Yeah, nice.
That's the first thing to pull up.
Actually, lately, I think that's the perfect time to run for public office. It seems you can do anything. You can get banned from mall for being a teenage creeper in your 30s and still get elected to something. It's a good time to be alive, Brian. Good time to be alive.
I love it.
All right, let's dive in.
Factorio. So
oh, yeah, Factorio. I'm going to get it. It's $20. I have $10 in credit anyway on Steam, so it's only $10.
Did you return some stuff again?
I returned a $10 game. What was it? Oh, I know. After I played Black Desert for a while, I decided it wasn't for me, and I returned it, and they gave me a refund.
I have not returned a game yet.
Ever?
No, ever.
I do it all the time. I mean, it depends.
I know you do.
If it sucks, I take advantage of it. I never returned it if I beat it. Like, I'll never do that. That sucks. I think that's not cool. I want these developers to make money. But if the game is not doing it for me, for whatever reason, or it's janky or busted, I have no problem returning
it. So just grab the game, speed run it,
yeah,
and then get a refund. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And they do it. They've always been really good about it, probably because I have spent a lot of money on Steam over the years, and they're like, yeah, no, he's a whale. Go ahead and give him his $10 back.
Right.
He'll just keep spending money. So anyway. Let's move on to the news. All right, Capcom for Nintendo News announced Mega Man 11. This is actually coming everywhere, but this will probably end up on the Switch, so we have it in our Nintendo News today. And this is something to keep in mind,
by the
way.
You've got to get it on the Nintendo, though, right?
I would. That's where I'd get it. That's where I'd prefer it. But I will say this. This time of year, news kind of dries up, so there's not a ton going on. So some of these may be applicable to sort of all platforms, but... You get the idea. Mega Man 11, and they're going to bring out with this thing a brand new hand-drawn art style. That jumped out at me immediately and got me excited. What do you think of that?
So far, what I've seen, the little teases, looks, I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
It says here, the first Mega Man came out 30 years ago on the NES on December 17th, 1987. Capcom is celebrating that legacy with a gift for fans of the series. 11 is set to be released sometime in 2018. This will be...
You think this is pushed by Cuphead at all, you think?
No. No. I think the hand-drawn thing is... There's a lot of games that do that and feature that. I think the thing about Cuphead was very specifically like 1920s animation. You should see this stuff move. Like, it's definitely not... I don't think Mega Man's, you know, he's not sitting on spaghetti legs bouncing while he's waiting to go fight with some kind of cool music in the background like they do. So I don't think so. But anyway, it says it's the newest game in the Mega Man series since the last release, which was 10 back in 2010. So it's been 7 years. Jeez. It'll be 8 years when it comes out.
I didn't know there was even one 10-year. When was that one?
It wasn't. I don't think people liked it. I don't remember. But anyway. That it's a hand-drawn 2.5D art direction, which looks interesting. So, kind of excited. I can tell you are, too. You like Mega Man, don't you?
Oh, I'm actually excited about the most recent one. I was trying to read about X. Is that the collection is coming to all the consoles,
yep.
I guess, to get you all juiced up for the next one.
Right? Yeah, that's exciting. Also, GoldenEye's... Remember GoldenEye? Played a lot of GoldenEye back in the day.
Oh, my goodness, I played so much GoldenEye. But I had it always modified. I played emulation modified.
Oh, that's cool. I never did that. I just had the N64, and we did do the taped dividers on the TV, put cardboard up there so you could have the four slots, and you couldn't see what everyone else was doing. It's pretty dumb, but whatever. That game was great in its day. I'm not sure it holds up so well like most. Actually, I think most N64 and most PlayStation titles, PlayStation 1, kind of have a real hard time looking good these days. It isn't like retro 8-bit graphics where there was kind of a, you know, a foreverness to that stuff. Right. The old blurry polygon, shaky, crappy polygon days were definitely a transition period and do not look so good these days. But who cares how they look? GoldenEye's untouched 15-year speedrun record, specifically for the dam level. And I don't mean the dam level. I mean the dam level. The level with the dam.
D-A-M.
Yeah. It's called Dam. Got broken for the first time 15 years ago, man. The dam stage. let's see. On agent difficulty, which is the important bit, the previous run was 53 seconds set by Brian Brochart in 2002, September 27th to be exact. New guy, Carl Jobst. That's not how you say his last name. Ran the thing in 52 seconds. He beat it by a second and lost his mind.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a great video. I watched the whole thing.
1 second.
Have you seen it? It's great.
I did watch it, actually. Yeah. It's that guy. I can't tell if he's laughing, crying, but it's the most interesting thing I've ever seen, because I've watched a lot of speedrunners do things just out of curiosity. But this guy is actually super emotional, and it took my understanding of what speedrunning is to a different level. I'm like, wow, this really means something to people.
Oh, speedrunners take this stuff super seriously. In fact, I bet we could, you know, just for funs, let's watch this guy. I have this video.
And I was like, super high pressure situation.
Hello. All right. So this is the game. Because it's only 59 seconds. Oh, no, this is 7 minutes. So this is his entire thing.
I'm not joking around, man. I'm not like...
And this is him retrying over and over and then eventually getting
it. Bumped to like about a minute 48 or so.
Yeah.
Or 2 minutes.
Let's see. 2 minutes in. Wait, where did he go? Is he in the shitter? Oh, he's got stuff all over his house. Oh, did he make it? Oh, he did.
Yeah,
okay, let me back up.
Made it, yeah.
All right, let me back it up. Yeah, I've gone way too far. Well, he's maybe swearing a little bit.
I don't know.
Okay, here he goes.
I can't even play anymore tonight after that.
Wait, did he make it?
No, he's...
I don't know.
He hasn't seen the screen yet.
Oh, fuck!
He did it. He did it.
Oh, my God!
He's losing it.
Oh, my God!
Dude, he is so into it. He's crying.
He is crying or excited or something. For those who don't know, in that game, it'll show you after you complete. So I don't think he really knew that he was running for the speed record. It just popped up, right?
Well, I think because he has, the way his overlay is, he's got all the speedrunner like overlay stuff going on, like the timers and everything, which is usually because you're trying to do a speedrun record. But he's probably done this 1,000 times, and it's always on, and just in case he hits it. And I think he hit it and didn't realize he hit it. Like
exactly.
He was just like, well, this could be just like any other night where I didn't get it, but he got it.
Yeah.
54 well done.
Seconds.
You don't win anything other than.
Oh, notoriety though. I mean, notoriety, because everybody everybody knows.
There's no prizes. That's all. Final Nintendo news. There is a Super Mario breakfast cereal coming out. You going to grab this when it hits?
Of course I am. I already grabbed what's there's like another, there's always marketing for Super Mario cereal. And I'm always picking them up, but yeah, this is actually a true Super Mario cereal, right?
Yeah. Comes with an amiibo. So there was some concern about this or not concern, some confusion about what's actually in there. But Kellogg's and Nintendo have teamed up for Super Mario cereal. This is what I'm reading from the Polygon article. A sugary cereal breakfast designed to promote Super Mario Odyssey. In addition to bringing Nintendo-themed cereals back to store shelves, the release is noteworthy for another reason. The cereal box is an amiibo. So this article says it's an amiibo. Like the box itself has an NFC chip in it. You hold it up to the thing and you got it. Others have conflicted that and said, no, there's an actual amiibo in there. Good luck on the one you're going to get. So I still don't know if Nintendo's clarified that. But it's happening. And they, by the way, there has not been a Mario or a Nintendo themed cereal since 1989 when they made, Super Mario Brothers and Legend of Zelda combo box. And you could buy and get two different cereals on each half. That was 89.
Look, this will be the biggest mess in the Walmart aisle you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah.
If it's actually in the box.
Yep.
Because people are going to be pouring that stuff out. Rip.
Says here, the breakfast food is a mixed berry flavor cereal with power up marshmallows. Cereal blog Cerealously uncovered the product earlier this week, and Nintendo has confirmed it's coming. So watch for that.
Okay, so this is what we do. This is what we do. Ready, Scott? This is what we do.
Okay.
Next week, on Monday, me and you, we got to have a box of the cereal. We're going to eat it during the show and give our take on how crappy this is.
I would love to do that.
Or how delicious.
I would love to do that. Let's do that. Right, I don't drink milk anymore, though. How do I do that? Do I just eat it raw?
Oh, no. You don't drink any milk? Because no. I drink like a coconut almond mix, blend mix.
Well, I could do that, I guess.
That's what I like.
I could do
that. Yeah.
But I don't drink, yeah. I straight up don't drink milk normally. So I quit it about 2013. So I could put it in like yogurt or something. That's weird, though, isn't it?
That's good, too. Or you could just grab it by the handful and just go raw.
That's how I lost my 50 pounds I lost a while back, was stopping milk.
By eating cereal by the handful?
No, because I got rid of milk. But now if I start drinking milk again, I'll get fatter than I already am. This has been a rough year. It's all about getting fat this year for me.
You're not getting fat. Hey, look, chat room.
Yeah.
Bring your cereal next week. Let us know what kind of amiibos you got.
Let's do it together live at 3:30 Mountain Time. Be here. Part of the problem is we don't know when they're releasing it, but we'll see.
11th, December the 11th. December 11th.
Oh,
yeah.
They do have a date. Ah, there's so much.
Yeah. Oh, so that'll be tight. Yeah. Like, hopefully we can get it that day.
No kidding. Not much to say in Microsoft news, except there's been this thing going around. We'll get to PlayStation in a second, because this is sort of the same thing for Microsoft. Somebody added up all the Microsoft games with gold. Those are the free monthly games you get if you're a member of Xbox Live. And it totals. This is what you would have paid if you paid full retail price for these, not sales or whatever, but retail of whatever these games would be normally. You would have paid $1,029 in 2017 for all of your Games with Gold games you got from Xbox. It's pretty good. Excuse me. It's a little less than the Sony one, which we're going to get to in a minute, but they did an analysis of this stuff, talking about quantity versus quality, all that kind of stuff. And here's what they did. They took all of the Metacritic scores, created an average Metacritic score of 77.19 for the 40. Oh, that's for the 48 games released for Xbox Live Games with Gold. Okay.
Who's in the bottom of that curve, I wonder?
Oh, gosh, dude. I wonder, too. I mean, they do this month to month, but it doesn't say who's at the bottom of the curve or top of the curve, even. But yeah, I wonder about that. That's interesting. It's actually a good, decent number. I mean, you know.
Right. 77. You know how 19. I feel about the free games on PlayStation and the Xbox? It's kind of like, it's just a bonus.
Yeah.
It's kind of like when you get a free plastic ring when you go and you pick up your, you go play the arcades and stuff.
Sure, sure. No, I understand. Metacritic average, by the way, for this is of note, is 1.19 points better than 2016 at the same time. And the total dollar value is almost $100 better, meaning you got more for your money or got more free stuff that would have cost money otherwise. Let's see. It says, however, last year the analysis took the price of the game at the time of publication which was December 2016. Let's see. Now the fact that all 360 games with Games in Gold is also now compatible with the Xbox One. There's a thing going where, you know, things are being weighted in their favor because some of these games are coming from the 360 era as opposed to PlayStation right. 4 stuff, where that's pretty much all you're getting in the PlayStation. And then they break down every month. It's super interesting. So I'm going to lean right into the Sony one and tell you the difference. Sony PlayStation Plus gave out $1,287 worth of games in 2017, which is more dollar amount, right? However, let's see, how many games is that? 74 titles, so it's less titles.
Right.
But they were worth more money. And let's see, Metacritic score this year of 71.3%, which is okay. A little low, in my opinion. But if you do the retail price, $1,287.25, the Metacritic average is nearly 3 points lower, though, than it was a year ago. 74.1. And the total dollar value was more than $130 better than last year.
I expect lower rates for my PlayStation Plus, please.
Is that what you want?
No, not really, because they already give it. I find them on sale all the time. It's already cheaper than it was in the past.
Yeah. And then they go month to month. I'm trying to see which one of these I like the most. I think Little Big Planet 3 was maybe their best value back in February.
Right.
I really liked Tearaway Unfolded on PS4. I thought that was awesome. Mm-hmm. Enjoyed the hell out of that. I'll tell you the worst one. I thought was the worst that we ever had was April's Drawn to Death. Hated that game. It sucks. I liked what they were trying to do, which was take like your friend's stoner scrawl art he'd do in detention in his notebook and turn that into a video game. All right. Metal and hardcore and the scratchy paper lines and, you know, pen and ink and all that. And it just played like garbage. It looked real neat, but it played like the poop. Like the poop.
It played like the poop, Brian.
Like the poop.
Hey, do you ever like miss a month and forget to add it to your library?
Yes, I do. But usually on purpose.
Is it like?
Usually I don't want it.
Oh, okay.
It. Yeah. You mean like out by accident? Like I didn't know it was there or whatever?
Right.
No, yeah. That's never really happened that I know of. I remember Game of Thrones hitting on PS4 in July, and I remember thinking I should probably grab that, but I already had the whole thing on PC and forgot I had it there, so then I was like, who cares? I'll just play it there eventually.
Well, this past June was really good for me for the PlayStation. I played the Killing Floor 2, and I played the Neon Chrome so much that I had to get it on the PC, and I really liked Spy Chameleon. I don't know if you played that one
no,
or not.
No, what's that?
Yeah, it's kind of like a little puzzle game. You have to enter each little room as a chameleon, and you have to avoid cameras detecting you, and you have to collect certain objects on each screen without being caught. So,
oh, wow.
It's pretty fun. I like it.
October was maybe one of the best ones, but I already owned it on PC, so again, there was no point. But Metal Gear Solid 5, The Dark Phantom, or The Phantom Pain, that was on there.
Right,
that was a pretty
good
deal. While we're in Sony, you may as well just tell you that they're going to let you try out your PlayStation VR at home, but it's too late for this now, right? This is over. Let's demo.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's over because maybe you'll get in again later, but right now the program is full.
So they're just not taking any more entries is the deal.
Right. 1,400 eligible participants between December the 1st and the 14th.
Right. So they send you demo units, basically, a trial bundle that includes the PlayStation VR headset, PlayStation camera, PlayStation Move controllers, Elder Scrolls 5 Skyrim VR. And then a disc with a bunch of demos on it. This bundle retails for $449. This is what they send you. If you're eligible and you take part, you give Sony a credit card. They put it on hold or put a hold on the card and then send you the bundle, which you can then keep for a couple of weeks. And when you're done with it, if you don't like it, return it. They never charge your card. If you like it.
I don't like it.
If they charge it, you keep it. They charge your card. It's a little weird, to be honest. This tells me they're not selling. It tells me they're not selling a lot of PSVRs. That's what it tells me.
It's pretty much what every online bed company promises, right? You need a mattress?
Yeah.
We'll send it to you. But you know, once you open that bag, you're never sending that crap back.
Because it's a pain in the ass.
That's yours.
Yeah, it's a pain in the ass.
Yeah. There's no way that VR is going back in the box they send. There's no way.
Yeah.
Not going to happen.
Yeah. I think some will try, but I'll bet it's real picky about how that kind of stuff comes back and what condition it's in.
Yeah, and it said if it's damaged, oh man, what what anger would you have if you like scuff one up a little bit and you send it back and they like, oh, we charged your card $50. It's like, oh,
yeah, that would suck. It's like finding out your like your apartment. What's the word? There's a word.
Yeah,
for
the deposit. The yeah, down, the down. Yeah, the
down. Yeah. No, the something deposit. The dirt. Dirty deposit.
The doggy deposit.
No, what is it? It's damage deposit.
That's it.
It's gonna bug me now. Chat room, come on. Security deposit. That's it.
Security deposit. Security for who? The landowner.
Yeah, no kidding.
Landowner? No, he may own the land, but he's a something else. Ooh. See all the words.
Yeah, they've all the words, and then some, and then there you go.
But that kind of scares me though, because I can see some people going. I can see somebody really getting in trouble with this because, you know, you don't have $450, but you're like, hey, it'd be really cool just to get one in and play with it for a couple weeks and send it back. It's not going to cost me anything.
Mm-hmm.
This is like sitcom gold here. Mm-hmm. You know, extend past what you have for $450, get it in for a couple weeks to play it, and then something happens, you have to send it back, and yep. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, you've got a show on the CW before you know it.
Oh, the stress.
Yeah, too much.
Too much.
Too much. All right, let's get a quick PC thing out of the way. Again, not a ton of news in PC yet, either. We are in the waning time of the year. That's not a lot happening. But Assassin's Creed Origins, a game I am still playing and quite enjoying, has a December update that includes 3 new gods, enemy scaling, and chocobo armor, maybe. Is it chocobo armor? What is that stuff?
That's what it's supposed to be. Yeah. You know, the chocobo, that weird
oh, yeah,
bird
no, the
looking thing.
Freaking disaster.
From Final Fantasy?
Yeah, Final Fantasy looking freaking dirt bird. I hate that thing.
Dirt bird.
Anyway, on top of this stuff, they also include a new nightmare difficulty level in Egypt that is getting a little bit easier to do. The enemy scaling is interesting because I like scaling in games. I like enemy scaling. I like them to stay with me and not be, you know, just trash when I go kill them later. I like a nice consistent challenge all the way through. That's why I think Elder Scrolls Online is way better than it used to be, and that's why I think the new World of Warcraft expansion is going to be rad, because it'll have scaling levels and therefore content and enemies and stuff. So I'm into that.
I was gonna skip this one. I was gonna skip the Origins, and this is kind of making me want to get it.
Dude, this is my favorite Assassin's Creed since Brotherhood. It's so good. It's so good. You want this. This is a game you want.
It's rated very well.
Yeah. You want this.
Yeah.
Trust me. Get it. Play it. Have it. Live it. Be it. Okay, here's this. Let's do this right here. Right here. All right, let's take a look at an email we got here from... his name is Helper22. This is how he wrote his email. This is pretty great. Hey, Boop Show. I have a beef to pick with you. Now, can we just stop there and say, isn't it bone? It's not beef, right?
Maybe it's let's hear the whole thing so we'll know how beefy it is.
All right, here we go. I have a beef to pick with you. How come no love for the Mass Effect series on this show? ? He says, it's one of the best game series of all time. What gives your pal in Christ, Helper22?
Your pal in Christ?
Yeah, this is the best email we've ever gotten. All right. I will agree with you that Mass Effect is one of the best game series of all time up until, well, some would argue up until 2.
No Mass Effect news since we've started the boops.
No, not really. Not really. Well, right. Other than, I guess, this year, it's Andromeda year and that game sucks. So,
yeah.
Are you saying not enough Andromeda talk? Because that game is universally panned. People don't like it. It did not do well. They're probably not making any more Mass Effect games because of it. Like, that thing is an abject failure. So, if you're saying, was Mass Effect 1 awesome? Yes. Was Mass Effect 2 almost perfection? Yes. I freaking love 2. 2 is one of the greatest games I ever played. 3, it was fine. 3 was fine, but it wasn't 2.
When you say Andromeda was like an abject failure, do you mean like critically or do you mean like financially?
Critically and financially. All of it. EA came out and said, we can't afford to make more of these. This thing sucked, basically.
Right. Well, it sucked because they didn't make more money. I mean, not that it sucked as a game, right?
But let's look at... Okay, let's look at... Let's let the scores tell you. Mass Effect Andromeda... Probably should do... I guess we'll do Metacritic.
Metacritic
says... Bam, 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 bam. Let's look at the PlayStation 4. Overall rating of 71. But
the, it sounds like a PlayStation game.
Yeah,
the, like you get on your PlayStation Plus.
The
average
average user score 4.8 out of 10. That's not good.
Yeah, that's not good.
People really don't like it. Let's see. Here's a review from Gamer Gods Fail. No. It's not. This is too long. Some of these are anciently long or huge. Okay. Here. How about this one from DK3000? We're gonna call him the Donkey Kong 3000. Here you go. Very disappointing game that I've waited 5 years for. The animation and facial is so bad that really breaks the experience. There are so many bugs that just shows the game is not finished or ready. I hope it's not finished. It's not supposed to be about finished people. Anyway, they tried to push the unfinished game out to us so they can make money is why EA sucks. There's your whole review. I'm not saying you should take that guy's word for it. I'm just saying 71, that's not high enough for them to keep making these.
Is it wrong for a company to want to make money?
Well, of course they want to make money, but they also should make a good video game so they can sell a bunch of them. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, do you want to sell video games? If the answer is yes, make good ones then. It's as simple as that. Just do that. I mean, I know some games are going to succeed more than others, but make a good video game, people buy those.
Like, well, like Scott said, our helper in Christ, helper 22, your pal in Christ. I'm with Scott. Mass Effect 2 was where it was at for me, and I played a lot of it, but there really hasn't been a lot of Mass Effect action for us. But yeah, we love the series, but you know, we just have to, maybe I should look for some mods for 2. Did they do the mod thing on the Mass Effect 2?
I don't know if they did
or
not. Really did they? I don't remember if that game had mods. I don't think it did. I think it was, in fact, wasn't there, what was the deal on PC? The PC version had to have a controller, or they wouldn't support controller despite the fact that the Xbox and PlayStation version did. Or no, there was no PlayStation version. It was all a 360 exclusive on consoles. And then until later, I think maybe eventually PS3 got one. That's some kind of, you know, game of the year or collector's edition or something. But the original Xbox release of 2 and then the PC version of 2, there was some disparity there, and I can't remember what it was, but you couldn't do the control options you wanted, and I can't remember what that was. But that's where I played it, was PC. I got it on Origin at the time. Yeah. It was
most
awesome.
Of the mods look to be visual mods.
Yeah, plus they don't.
Maybe.
I mean, I don't think they let people mod that code base.
EA
doesn't do that. Nope. They're not into that. But that game was great. Nope. My gosh, what a game. What a hell of a game. Andromeda.
It was the peak.
Poopski. Hear me make another fart sound. That's how I feel about the new one. Thanks for your email. You can send your emails to boopshow@gmail.com. That means it's time to get out of here. Frogpants.com/boop is our website. So if you're looking for ways to subscribe to the show and find it, whatever, all that stuff's there, including our Twitter account, boopshow@boopshow. Boopshow@gmail.com, as I mentioned before, is the place to go if you want to support the show. You can do that over at patreon.com/frogpants. And you can follow us on Twitter. Brian, you're over at The Brian Dunaway.
Well, that's me.
Yeah, you got stuff to say sometimes about things.
I do, and you should follow me on the YouTube, too. Come on over.
YouTube, I see. Go to the
YouTube. I'm watching, by the way, I subscribe to the TV YouTube thing too.
That? Red? YouTube Red, they call that? Is that what the word?
No, not the Red.
Oh, you didn't want that mess. You didn't accidentally go to Red Tube by accident?
No. Boob Tube. No. I went, I got the, you know, their streaming service, their actual network channels of something.
Oh, I thought that was Red. TV offerings. That's not Red? That was Red.
No. That's something else. That's where you don't have to worry about the commercials, and you can minimize stuff on your phone and still play the music. Now that's something totally different. This is actually the TV streaming service.
Oh, the thing that's like competing with PlayStation View and whoever has their thing, AT&T's thing, DirecTV's thing, all their things. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Streaming television, basically. You know,
streaming television.
Hulu's
so...
got that now. Have you tried the Hulu one? I've been thinking about that.
I wanted to do the Hulu one, but my devices that I have do not support it. I have a Samsung Smart TV, YouTube TV, worked there, so I went that route for 7 days so I can watch all the freeform TV I want with back-to-back Christmas movies.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
Yeah.
I would like to hear more as you go, how this goes for you. YouTube.
I also have a Twitch channel.
Brian Dunaway. What is it? Brian Dunaway? Okay.
Yeah.
People should go check that out as well. Mine's at frogpants.tv or twitch.tv/frogpants. You can go to either one of those. That's going to do it for us. Thank you all for listening and for being here. We'll be back next week, hopefully with Mario cereal in hand, so we can talk about whether that shit's any good or not. It's probably not, but we're going to give it a shot anyway.
It's delicious.
We'll see. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll see you then. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.